Peace of Christ be with you. We've got some guests here checking out Hope College as a prospective place. Welcome to Hope College. My friends, happy Friday. Is this the last Friday of September? Woo! We are in it. And there's so much going on, just on a campus ministry end. Tonight, we got the women's night out, a record number of people going out to the beach. We've got men's night out, near record number. But if you still want to go, come to the Keppel House, sign up. We'll find a place for you for that. Tomorrow at the Keppel House at 9 a.m. for freshmen, the last of our series on getting the most out of college spiritually. And then on Sunday, I want to bring this to your attention. And I want to really ask the Hope community to come out to the gathering on Sunday night. It's a special night. Lauren Taylor, our new chaplain of discipleship, is going to be ordained, and we're going to do this at the gathering. She's going to make some promises to God, and we're going to make some promises to her. And people, we are our community. We got to show up for each other. So I want to invite you to come out on Sunday night to the gathering for this special, special event. But that's not all that's going on. I mean, I looked on, where'd my card go? There's my card. There's a lot going on. Tonight we got a swing dance. Tomorrow there's like men's tennis, women's tennis, rugby, cross country, softball. Is it softball season? But we got softball going on. We got men's and women's golf, men's and women's soccer. We got Quidditch going on. SAC is doing Fall into Run. There's a movie called Phoenix playing. It's all over the place, activities. If you can't find something to do, you're ignorant. What else is going on? We got some pool. We got the epic. What year of the pool is this? 118 of the epic battle of the wills, heart, mind, and soul. Odd versus even. The tug of war that in the heavens they pay attention to. It's awesome. That's tomorrow at what time? 3 o'clock. The pool tomorrow. Well, pullers, I got a text for you. I got a text for you. I got a text for me. It's a text that comes from Jesus, from the very heart of God. A text that if we can put in ourselves and groove in, I believe not only will it change us, not only would it transform our campus, it would allow us to be light in dark places. Listen to this from Jesus. So good. Jesus says this: "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your Father in heaven is perfect." Verse 48, "Be perfect, therefore, as your Father in heaven is perfect." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Jesus says it so clearly that there can be no confusion. He's calling us as individuals, calling us as a people, as a community, to be perfect. Just as the Father in heaven is perfect. I'll confess, this is one of those texts when I read, something triggers inside of me, and I can hear perfection, to be perfect, is kind of wooden, hollow, cold, a kind of invitation to kind of a moral self-righteousness. It has that kind of sting in it. Be perfect, says Jesus. I just wake up in the morning and know I'm not perfect. I look in the mirror and know I can't measure up. I know too much of actually what's really going inside me to feel like I can ever fit into this perfection. In the English translation, we hear perfect as flawless or faultless or a superhuman strength that never makes a mistake. But that, my friends, is not what Jesus is saying about this. Be perfect, therefore, as your Father in heaven is perfect. When I hear this, I can hear my baseball coach, Jim Waller, yelling at me, "Trigger, come here!" I run off the field. He says, "What are you doing?" I said, "Coach, I'm practicing." He said, "You're not practicing. You're here, but you're not practicing. Practice doesn't make perfect, son. Perfect practice makes perfect. Now, go figure it out and get back out there." This would happen 3 or 4 times a day in my life. Trigvi, perfect practice doesn't make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. And what Coach was telling me is that it doesn't matter that you just hear. You got to translate. You got to do the right things in the right way all the time. You got to have the right technique. You got to hold the ball correctly. You need to hit your cutoff, man. It doesn't matter that you just showed up to practice. Perfect practice makes perfect, right? Jesus is saying the same thing. It doesn't matter that you just show up to chapel. It doesn't matter that you just read your Bible. It matters. But what really matters is that as you do these things, you do it in the right way. Jesus says, perfect practice makes perfect. Be perfect. But Jesus isn't talking about errorless baseball. He's not talking about spiritual technique. He's talking about the heart of God. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And the perfection that Jesus is calling us to pay attention to is the unmerited, limitless, boundless mercy of God. He makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. God is this impartial source of generosity for all creation, for all living creatures. Be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful, Jesus says. That is what perfection means. It has something to do with here, in your heart, your soul. Not just going about doing the right things, not just showing up to practice. Perfect practice makes perfect. Jesus is saying every single day and moment, practice a boundless mercy to those around you. What does that look like? When we get real with each other, what does that look like? It doesn't look like playing a game. It looks like moving into real life. Jesus, again, says it so clearly that there's no room for equivocation. There's no room for confusion. If we are to be perfect, it looks like this: loving your enemy. Loving your enemy. Loving that person who's hurt you. Loving that person who dislikes you. Loving that person who talks behind your back. It is a call that, if we can take seriously, is one of the most radical claims of all the New Testament. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Jesus says, love your enemies. Love them. Love those who've hurt you. Love those who you dislike. Love those who you have been conditioned to dislike, or who have been conditioned to dislike you. And my friends, you and I know that's not easy. It's a lot easier to get up and talk about this than to do this. Because we do get hurt. People do things that we don't like. There is real evil in the world. But Jesus says we are called to love our enemies. Michigan State fans, you gotta love some Michigan fans. Ohio State, well, I don't know if Jesus is talking about Ohio State. Republicans, you gotta love some Democrats. Democrats, you gotta love some Republicans. Odd, even, you gotta love each other. Greek, independent, staff, faculty, gay, straight, American, immigrant, Christian, Muslim, white church, loving the black church because there's only one church, and understand that black lives matter. We gotta love. We gotta get past the things that separate us, says Jesus. We need to be perfect as the Heavenly Father is perfect. We gotta get this real for us. And what does that look like? It doesn't look like all the time, like you, Jesus doesn't say you're not gonna not have enemies. Doesn't mean that you agree with everyone's behavior or everyone's position or what everyone does or says. That's not what Jesus is saying. Later on in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, beware of those who come to you as wolves in sheep's clothing, right? You got to be discerning. Jesus isn't saying keep your head in the sand and have a Pollyanna attitude. Jesus is saying you've got to love people that are hard to love. That is the heart of God because that is what God does. And how do we do that practically? One small step is to pray. To pray for those who persecute you. To pray for your enemy. Michigan, you got to pray for Ohio State fans. Tomorrow, even, odd, I challenge you, whoever the anchor is on one side, to be praying for that anchor on the other side. Competitions are good, but when competitions become the means by which we create our own identities to keep people out, things go sideways. We gotta love each other. And the pull is one thing, real life is another. And Jesus is calling us into real life, where our life we are practicing the boundless mercy of God. We gotta pray for those who hurt you. You gotta pray for that roommate who doesn't do the dishes. You gotta pray for that ex-boyfriend. You gotta pray for the dad who left you. You've gotta pray for whoever it is that you might describe as an enemy. An enemy may be too strong, but that person who you just don't like, I wanna call you to pray for them by name and see what happens. See if something in you doesn't soften. Because it isn't just about that enemy, it's about your own soul. Because if we hold on to that hatred, it turns bitterness in us. And Jesus wants to free us from all of those things that keep us from a full communion with God. And if that call is too hard, if it's too raw, which I understand, and there are situations where it's hard to pray for the other, then I want you to do this. I want you to ask for Jesus to pray for you. Because right now, the reality that frames everything, whether you know it or not, is Jesus is at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. Jesus is the one praying for us. Jesus is the unmerited generosity of God for all people at all times and in all places. In Christ, we experience the boundless mercy of a boundless loving God. You don't have to do this on yourself. The perfection isn't on you. Jesus has accomplished the perfection on our behalf. And so if you can't pray, ask Jesus to pray so that you can begin to step into that prayer. And in that prayer, we will be unleashed from the confines of a closed and hateful world and launched into that wide open country of salvation, where we will take that narrow path into the high country, where we will see God face to face, and we will join every living creature in heaven and earth and under the earth. Everything that has breath will come before the throne, where the Lamb reminds us that He is the Lion. And we experience the full perfection of God, God's boundless mercy and love. My friends, let's give that to each other. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Amen. Go in peace and love each other.